Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for today's show is Connie Panturo. Connie is a leading authority in the field of pain-free living, which includes the power of creating a harmonious connection of mindset, emotions, and body. She's also the author of an inspiring book titled Falling into Joy, 8 Simple Steps to Allow Your Body to Become Your Best Friend. Join us for a conversation about pain-free living and falling into joy. Welcome, Connie.
Oh, thank you, Margot. So great to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on the show. I had so much fun talking with you and Marsh and Wendy on October 10th when the three of you were on for that call or show about Dear Amazing Daughter. I mean, that was so much fun having the three of you. That was my first time having three guests on at the same time, and it was just one of the most fun shows that I've done. I've had so many that are fun, and that was definitely awesome.
It was fantastic. We loved being on it and loved talking with you, so I'm excited about today.
Oh, cool. And also, I just wanted to mention, for anybody who's curious about that show, though, they can still hear the replay of it at my Blog Talk Radio show. So blogtalkradio.com/liveyourmusic, you can hear the replay of that show about Amazing Daughter as well. So today, though, we're going to be talking about joy. And as you know, joy is one of my favorite words, and it's my middle name.
Right, exactly. So
yeah. And it's actually my chosen middle name because it reminds me to focus on joy. So
beautiful.
Yeah. Well, first of all, before we get into anything else about your book, I'm just kind of curious, what inspired you to write your book?
Oh, you know, it's so interesting. Let me go back. I was lucky enough to have my father live to be 100 and a half.
Wow.
I know, believe it or not. And I was with him, spending some time with him. I spent a week around his birthday, and I had a journal. I've always been journaling in my life and writing, and it just popped into my head. It said, falling into joy. I had no idea what it meant, but I wrote it down.
Uh-huh.
And it's so interesting. I was taking a writing class and with Marsh Engel, who inspired me, and I said, I have this idea. Everyone's telling their ideas. I have this idea for posture and standing tall and, you know, all that kind of stuff because I'm a Pilates teacher and that's important to me. And she said, very nice. And I walked away and then I turned around. I said, and I have this other idea. You know, I don't know what it is. It's called falling into joy. And then she said, that's it. Whatever that is, that's the book you have to write. So that kind of started me off on this journey. And, you know, I work with my clients who have chronic pain and who are trying to take care of themselves and get strong. And it's been the questions over the years that I've gotten from clients. I use some case studies of some of my clients. And it's really been a passion of mine just getting people to love their bodies and probably my job also to love my body. And so it kind of all, you know, rolled into one.
You know, reading your book, preparing for the show, I was looking at the, like you said, the case studies and mm-hmm. your personal stories, and I could relate to so many of them, and I know that people are going to be able to relate to them as well, and it just, I don't know, I think you did a really great job on it. It's funny because it's a little book. It's a very small book, and so many mm-hmm. people lately are just not wanting to read books at all, you know, and then a lot of the books that are so big, you're going, oh, my gosh, when am I ever going to have time to read that? But your book is small enough that it's packed full of inspiration, but it's small enough you could take it with you easily wherever you are and just read a few pages at a time, you know?
And that's exactly what it's meant to do, like to read by the side of your bed. Say, I'm just going to read a page or two or a chapter, and that it has 8 exercises that follow each chapter that go along with it. So it's really supposed to be, a super simple, easy-to-do steps, because in terms of our health and maintaining our bodies, It is the small things we do day in and day out consistently that make a huge difference in our life. You know, so
wow. That is really important. That is so important. Say that again,
yeah.
Because I want everybody to remember that, because I've noticed it's really true in my life, is the small things that you do consistently.
Exactly. So let me give you an example. Most people say, I don't have time to exercise. I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
That's fair. I get it. You don't have time to do 2 to 3 hours at the gym. What if we broke it into 15-minute increments? What if
mm-hmm.
you woke up and did 15 minutes, went on? What if in the middle of the day, 15 minutes? What if at the end of the day, now we have 45 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Or even if we had 15 and 50, what if we did broke it up 30 or 10, 10, 10? I mean, you don't have to be – we make it much more difficult. I think in everything we do, we make it much more difficult than it has to be. It has to be doable, little things that we do day in and day out, and it's got to be fun. I'm sorry, you're just not going to do it unless you look forward to it.
That is so true for me. Fun is definitely one of my heart values, and it's like if I can somehow inject a little bit of fun into whatever it is, I have a blast. So,
yeah, and you do it, and then you want to do it again.
Yeah, especially when it comes to things like exercise. Why would you want to do it if you can't find a way to make it at least somewhat fun, either by listening to fun music or, like, when I do the elliptical machine, I like to listen to music or sometimes audiobooks or podcasts or
podcasts,
things like that.
Great way to get all of your inspirational work done. Podcasts, my new thing is Masterclass.
What was that?
I love Masterclass. So it's all these videos. And I'll just do it quickly. All these videos by inspirational people, cooks
mm-hmm.
and directors and writers. And so that's something to inspire you, something that gets you going. You put on your headset and go out for a walk, and I'm telling you, you won't even think about the walk.
That's so true. You know, I haven't been walking as much as I used to, and I love going out for walks. I love being outside, and you're reminding me of that. I used to listen to cassette tapes with my Walkman, and then my iPod, and now on my iPhone, I listen to things too. And you're right; it's somehow hearing it when you're out in nature is so different than it is when you're in your car or just in your kitchen. And
you're just open to it. I think you're open to it. And the other thing is, I tell people to make exercise more of part of your life. So don't park right next to your office. Park farther away. So now you have to walk there. You have to walk back. At the grocery store, park all the way at the back. At the, so wherever you go, if you, at every location that you go to, park at the furthest location, you're now adding 5, 10, 15. That's why with all of our trackers, that's how you can really easily get up to 10,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have one of those. But I do that. I've done that for years, I like to wear shoes that are comfortable enough that I can walk, and I like to park far enough away that I can get a little bit of exercise and a little bit of walking in while I'm doing errands and things like that and being outside. It's amazing how sometimes just going outside when you've been inside all day can just change your whole outlook on life.
Just feeling the air on your skin and,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be a beautiful day. Just feeling
mm-hmm.
the air and just feeling the outside just changes everything.
It totally does. Well, now, what do you think? Do you think most people are in touch with their bodies? My answer would be no, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
I think most people are not, but they would like to be. I think that people are like, well, I don't know what you mean when you say my body talks to me. What does that mean? And,
mm-hmm.
The body talks to us the way we listen, which means that the body talks to us through pain. So I call it the gift of pain, because whatever it's trying to tell you, it wants you to pay attention. And you've done something, you've hurt your back, and you say, oh, it's going to get better, I'm going to ignore it. But it's those little things, ooh, that little twinge in your back. And whenever I see people who are in a pretty serious chronic condition, I'm like, let's see if we can trace this back. And they're like, I don't know when it happened. And then they start to, I did feel that. I did do something. So we have something that happens in our bodies, and then we ignore it. We let time go, and it hasn't gotten better. We don't do anything. We don't see a massage therapist, a chiropractor, orthopedic, whatever, you know, person we need to see. And so we just let it go, and it doesn't get better because then we're not treating it in any way. We're not stretching. We're not doing any exercises, and we don't know what happened. And then now we have 1 year go by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and now we have a more serious condition. So if we didn't have the pain, we would never go to the people. That's when I get most of my calls. Hi, I need to see you right now. I'm in pain. You know, because if they were feeling great, I probably would never hear from them. So it's your gift because it makes you pay attention to then take care of yourself. And if we take care of ourselves, if we do the small steps day in and day out, all of a sudden we feel good. And aging does not have to be a horrible experience. It doesn't. Your body doesn't have to fall apart.
Well, that's really awesome news.
Well, I mean, I said this to you before. I'm 63 years old. I feel really strong in my body. I feel good in my body. I take care of my body. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very lucky, but I do take care of it.
You know, I feel the same way. As I was telling you before, also, I just had my 65th birthday on Christmas Day. And
happy birthday.
I love having my birthday on Christmas. My mom always made me feel so good about it. She always told me that I was her Christmas present, and I was her first of five, and she really wanted to be a mom, so she made me feel so good about it. But being 65, I'm just like, I'm just so glad I'm not only alive, but I'm feeling so alive, you know.
And right.
Some people don't make it that far. I mean, our relatives that we have on my husband's side over in Hungary, it was so funny when we went over to visit them back in the mid-80s, that they would say, congratulations on your birthday. And I remember thinking at the time, his uncle was 85 at the time, walking us all over Budapest, talking about, being older and just, didn't want to even take a cab or anything. No, it's too expensive. We'll just walk, you know. And, I mean, he was awesome. But, you know,
because he was walking.
So true.
He was moving his body.
Well, that's what I noticed is while we were in Europe, it's the only time I've been to Europe, but we were there 2 weeks, and especially while we were in Budapest with him, we walked a lot. But everywhere we went, we were walking a lot. And it just, you know, that's something we don't do enough of in here in this country, I believe.
Right.
And then also the fact, though, that instead of saying congratulations on having another birthday, people are like, oh, my God, you're that old or whatever.
Right.
Oh, how do you feel? You know,
right.
We got to be really careful what we ask ourselves and other people, because what we ask is what we get answers for.
Absolutely, and what we say about our bodies.
Yeah.
The stories we tell. Oh, I can't do that before. You know, I'm too old for that. I can't do that. I hear that day in and day out. I'm like, now who said that? Why is that? You know. That's not true. And in fact, when I'm working with a client and I give them a new exercise, and they're like, I don't think I can't do that. I'm like, well, let's try. Let's see. How do you know? You don't know, and they'll do it, or they'll attempt it and they'll do pretty well. And I'm like, see, it's a story. So let's not tell ourselves the I can't do that story. The that's too much for me. I can't make that much money. I can't really. I don't think I can. I'm really. You know, prepared to do that, whatever it is, those are stories. Beliefs are just stories that we tell ourselves over and over again.
I love that, and it's so true. You're right. It's a story. It's a story, and stories can be fiction. Stories aren't always true, you know, but you're right. If you hear it over and over and over again, you start to believe that it's true. It's I think Abraham Hicks had said that a belief is just a thought you keep thinking, you know.
Exactly, and you keep saying it in every video.
Yeah.
And once you realize it, I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now, but all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, I say that an awful lot, don't I? Wait a minute, I'm going to stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to feel that way. That's not necessarily true. And I think that then when we get to that place, things change. Things change in our bodies. I mean, talking about pain-free living, listen, we have, you know, people in chronic pain have a story and are very attached, and this is not everybody. I mean, I'm not putting down pain. Pain is a very real thing. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times we get very attached to the story of our pain. Have I told you about my pain?
And that can be true psychological pain. Well, that can also be true of psychological pain, too, not just physical pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we get kind of stuck in that rut.
Well, you know what's sad, really sad to me, is that Wayne Dyer used to say a lot of times, would you rather be right or happy? And, you know, I would much rather be happy. And when I asked that on Facebook a while back, there was actually a woman who said, I'd much rather be right.
Mm-hmm.
And she commented that. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not a matter of being right or wrong entirely. It's a matter, I mean, for example, like with creativity, You have to realize there's a lot of right ways to do things in order to be your most creative self.
Right.
And so, you know, I've been always really got that, the whole idea of I'd much rather be happy. If I can be wrong about something and that'll make me feel happier, then I'm going for it.
Right. Yeah.
But
no,
unfortunately some people don't get that, so you know.
Yeah.
So, what about intuition? What about intuition? How does that play into the whole scenario of pain?
Because I think sometimes we don't listen to our intuition, right? So it's always like I'm always like trying to say, I'm like, what do you think? What do you think about your body? What do you think this is? I try to put it back onto my clients. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll have an intuition about something, but I'm trying not to tell them what I think. I'm really trying to say, how do you feel about your body or about whatever situation this is in? And usually people will talk about it, think about it, and then come up with an answer that's pretty true. And I think our intuition is trying to tell us stories that we need to listen to, and we don't really listen. Because I don't think really, our society right now is built for our listening. I think that's why this spiritual movement is really coming forth. We need it. We need to start listening. You know, we need to hear all these books about finding your passion or finding your truth or listening, because we need those words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we need to.
It's
time. And I think your intuition, that hunch, that gut feeling, that is always talking to you, and it's something we have to listen to.
Well, one of the things that I remember learning about intuition from Sonia Choquette years ago is she said intuition is moment to moment, and it's not like, oh, later today or tomorrow or next week or next year or whatever.
Right.
You know, that's not your intuition. And intuition being moment to moment, it reminds me that it's how I'm feeling and how I'm being in the moment and actually noticing what's going on either in my body or in my environment or in my mind or what I'm saying, that sort of thing. So, and boy, there's, you know, a couple times lately where I didn't bother to listen. You know, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to do that right now.
Right.
And I was, later I'm going, oh gosh, I kept hearing to do that and I didn't do it. And, you know.
Exactly.
Or not to do it, you know.
Well, yeah, or
not
to
do
something.
Too.
And it's so interesting that you had that feeling to override it, whether you, you know, for whatever reason, not good or bad, but just, isn't that interesting? And then later on you realized, oh, I should have listened.
Yeah. Later on you go, oh, I really wish I would have listened to that. I wish I would have just done it. It would have been so easy.
Exactly. And believe me, your intuition is going, oh, my goodness, you're kidding me.
Yeah, when are you going to start
listening
to me? Yeah. But, you know, really what we have, I keep reminding myself and my clients, too, is that, you know, we have to just learn from what happens instead of getting all upset about it. I used to get so upset when I would make a mistake, and then I would think about what I did wrong or perceive that I did wrong, and then I'd do it again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to learn to right now talking about it is reminding me that, okay, when I hear that again, just do it, you know.
Exactly. Just do it. Yeah.
Put it off or say, oh, no, it's not important, or I'll deal with it later or whatever, you know. But because it's in the moment, it's something that you need to do in the moment.
Exactly. So
do it now.
Exactly. That's right. No procrastination. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it, like Nike says. And
exactly.
You know, do it now, as Napoleon Hill used to always say. You know, have that reminder flash in your mind. Do it now. Do it now. Well, so, okay, now how we've talked about the gift of pain, and how did joy become important to you? That's another question I would like to hear the answers to.
That's a great question. I think joy has always been important to me. I have been blessed with a very joyous spirit. As a child, I was very joyous and crazy, and I still have that spirit. So I think it came naturally to me, but I'll tell you an interesting thing. In starting to write this book, the most unjoyous things happened.
I remember reading that part of the book.
And I just kept like bucking my head up again things that were like, oh my God. And in fact, right before this phone call, I had a situation. And you know what struck me and strikes me today is that in spite of that, there is still opportunity for joy in every day. From the first moment you wake up to the light, to your first sip of coffee, to, you know, seeing the outside, seeing in the spring a flower come up, in the winter seeing snow or being cold, or the first time you put on a sweater being in California. You know what I mean? It's all of those little things that add up to joy. It does not have to be a big thing. And even in terrible times and horrible things happen to people, I never want people to think that I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. No, no, that's not it at all. Terrible things happen. That being said, in spite of that, and because of that, there's still always an opportunity for joy. And I think that's what really resonates with me, and that's why it's so important to me and important for me to get the word out to people to discover that for themselves, that even in the crappiest of times, good things happen. People are nice.
Yeah,
you discover wonderful things. You discover who your friends are. You discover things you didn't know about yourself. You discover many different things, and I just think that that's why it's just, and it's great. It's a beautiful feeling. It's a, you know, and I think joy leads us to peace and gratitude.
Wow.
And you know, who doesn't want to live there?
They're all kind of intertwined. Yeah.
Intertwined.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. And, you know, I can totally relate to what you're saying. You know, because, you know, people see me and they think that I'm always up or whatever, and that I'm always joyful. Joy is really important to me, and so I try to look for joy. I listen for joy. I feel for joy. And that's why I think joy is the name of my higher self or my inner being. You know, I talk about that in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, you know, how that came to me one day when I was out walking, speaking about being out walking.
Right.
Is Susan Jeffers had talked about naming your lower self. And I thought, yeah, me too. And I thought, you know, she was talking about naming your lower self, and I thought hers was Chatterbox, and I thought, well, what would I name my higher self or my inner being? And all of a sudden the word joy came into my life, my mind, and, you know, I thought, I'm going to name my higher self Joy, you know. And so then I can think of, okay, am I listening to Joy or am I listening to Jinx? Jinx is my chatterbox, my lower self,
right.
The one. You can't do it. You know, all the stories, oh, God, people think you're crazy. They think you're, you know, fake because you're so joyful. And they ask my husband, oh, is she really like that?
Right.
And then, you know, there are moments, though, where my husband and son will go, what would people think of Miss Positive right now?
Right. Oh, yeah, it gets thrown in your face, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, we're human. I mean, we're all going to have all of those feelings. It's just, you know, what I've found is what I focus on expands, and it's really true. You know, if I focus
Absolutely.
On being upset,
yes.
I get more upset. And if I focus on, like you said, the little joys that you can have throughout life, you know, even seeing my cat and petting him and hearing him purr, and coffee first thing in the morning. All those things are so true.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
moments of joy. I call them moments of joy. And yeah. So, okay. Now, coaching. Do you think coaching is important? That's an interesting question that I'd like to know, especially since I do coaching as well. I want to hear your insights about it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think coaching is imperative, both for, well, first of all, that's what I do with people when they come in and come see me. So I coach them to how they can take care of their bodies better. And then for me personally, to have a coach, a business coach, a personal coach to get me that much further. And especially I think a coach helps you knock down time in terms of getting where you want to go. Because, first of all, you have their experience, and it makes you travel that much further. When you have questions, you have somebody to, you know, be a sounding board. So I think people underrate and don't use coaching enough. I wholeheartedly believe in it. You know,
I think a lot of people just don't. I think a lot of people just don't even know what is it. You know, they can understand what a therapist is, or a psychologist, or psychiatrist, or something like that. But coaching is a whole different ball game. And then some of them, I think of coaching as being like they picture like a coach who's telling you, just do it, get out there and do it, you can do it, you know, whatever, instead of actually listening to you and helping you listen to yourself and helping you figure out what's right for you. And
and you know, I have to say, sometimes I do stuff like that, just do it, just go out there and do it, come on, put your big girl panties on and just go do it. So sometimes I do that too, I have to say, you know, when somebody's whining about something and they haven't, you know, for a long period of time and they haven't changed.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying, even the way you say it is probably not.
Yes.
It's kinder, you know.
But sometimes don't mitigate not being. Sometimes everyone needs a swift kick. You know.
Yeah, we all do.
Get them going.
You're so right about that, and you know, having a coach while I was writing my book, boy, that really made all the difference. I never would have finished it or even believed I could do it if I didn't have a coach while I was doing the writing.
Well, that's
of
why
my
you
book.
Have deadlines, right? We need to have accountability. There has to be accountability. There has to be a deadline. Otherwise, it's all like vague, like what? So absolutely. You need somebody to say, hey, this is how you do it. This is what you need to do. Now I need pages in, you know, by next month or whatever. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We all need a coach of some sort.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, so we've established coaching is definitely important. I agree on that. And so what are you working on now?
Oh, got some great projects in the work. With Marsh Engel, we're working on a book called Rise, Women Rise, and there are eight of us. There are many more women involved in the book. But it's just stories of us really moving forward. My chapter is on presence. Which is something I love to talk about, being in the moment and being fully in the moment, because we are so easily distracted and thinking about a million things. As my kids are always like, Mom, get off your phone. So I definitely have that. And so being present is where you get to be your best self. So this project is, as I said, with Marsh Engel, and we will come talk, hopefully, on your show about it, and it's just going to be coming out in March, and we're going to start pushing
excited.
Out.
I'm excited about it. Marsh and I talked about it, and and she got me really excited about it. In fact, she got me so excited about it, I agreed to do four shows in March that have to
great.
Do with it. So March is
fabulous.
Going to be all about that. I am rising.
So that's, I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'm working on, I have a project called Your Motivational Why. It's a seminar that I do. It's a retreat, really, that I do at the studio. I've done it for the last 6 months at my studio. And it's 5 hours, and you kind of leave your life behind, and it's really the why you want to make any change in your life. The reason that you're going to, yeah, the reason, but it's not just like, and I want to lose weight and I want to, you know, get, speak on stages. It's not that kind of, it's like really we delve deep. Why do you want to do anything? So we do it with movement. We do it with meditation and a lot of journaling. And so I've done this, and now I'm taking it out into companies, and I'm going into companies, and they're having me for the day, and I'm taking their employees, and we're doing the same kind of your motivational why they want to be there, and hopefully getting employees to align with what the culture of the company is, and giving them a little retreat, and then making realize that it's not like you go to work and then you go home and then you have the weekend and then and everything is compartmentalized so much that your why, whatever you felt you were put here to do, can carry through in everything you do.
I absolutely love that. I think that sounds wonderful. And, you know, I like also that you do the five-hour one at your studio and that you're doing some of the day-long ones for businesses as well,
mm-hmm.
because they could both be really valuable for, well, you know, obviously the five-hour one at your studio for people who are in your local area, they can just come and do that with you. And I think it sounds like an awesome idea to me, because that is, a lot of times when you ask people why are they wanting to do things, why are they wanting to let go of their extra weight, or why do they want to exercise more, or why do they want to do whatever it is, I mean, they don't know why, you know?
And you know, here's the thing. We've been kind of trained to, I don't know. That's an easy answer for us. Why do you want?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because we're and then it's not only that, then we're a little bit afraid to kind of put it out there. But the minute
yeah.
we state what our intention is and we state what we're here to do and who we are, boy, the world opens up and changes. And all of a sudden we pick things that align with those same actions. We take care of our bodies better. We take care of our lives better. We take care of our cars better.
So true.
You know, I always say, look at your trunk. Look at your car. That's the
yeah,
way you think about your life.
Yeah, my trunk's got a lot of stuff in it right now.
Right. And then everyone goes, well, my car's not usually this way, you know.
Yeah, I've got some things I have to take to Goodwill from when our son was here, and he was going, you know, had changed a bunch of things in my office, which used to be his room. And so I said, you know, do you want these things, or what do you want to do with them, you know? And so he went through them, and he gave me a huge bag of things to give to Goodwill, but I have been so busy I haven't had time to take them there yet.
But you know what I mean? But that's what happens in life. Like, there
yeah.
is always a distraction. There is always something that's going to take you off what you're really here to do, what you really want to do.
There's
always be a distraction. So it's not about that. That's why I love teaching yoga nidra meditation, which is sleep-based meditation. And what it makes you realize, there's always going to be a car alarm. There's always going to be a plane going overhead. There's always going to be an annoying person. There's always going to be something. So you can't change that. All you can do is change your state. And you do that by letting it go and not worrying about it, and practicing meditation, taking care of your body, eating healthy, doing things that bring you joy, being around people that really support you and love you and you feel good around, and making better choices in your life.
Those all sound really true. And I think the people that support you and help you feel good about yourself, I think when you said that, that was something that really resonated with me, as something that I think a lot of people need more of.
Mm-hmm.
Is they need to be, you know, not just on social media, although social media is great in the sense that sometimes you can get to know people who are loving and kind, and I like to think of it more as like-hearted than like-minded. But so that is a good thing, but I think that having things where you can be with people in person is so important. It's not happening as much anymore. And what you're saying about having the 5 hours of why at your studio, you've got people all together and with you. And
what's great is it's people that don't know each other. Some people do, maybe one or two. But by the end of 5 hours, it doesn't matter. You're like, you are with everyone, and you start to care about people that you maybe wouldn't normally be with.
That's a really good point. I
so
love that.
So that's why, so now, so now I go into companies and I'll travel anywhere in the world and go into companies and get them to be. Now these are people that work together, so then they're one step closer. How can we, you know, care about people? How can we care about our job? How can we maybe align with the mission of the company if it's not aligned, especially if the employees are unhappy? How do we change unhappy? Nobody wants to be around unhappy people. And as you know, in any situation, that's the worst is when your employees are not happy. How do we change that? Because the truth is we're at work more than we're anywhere else.
Yeah, that's so true.
So that's really why I started to move into moving into companies.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad that you did. You know, it was interesting you were saying earlier, too, about sometimes people being afraid to say what their why is and what their heart desires and that sort of thing. And it reminded me of the little book by Emmett Fox called Your Heart's Desire. I don't know if you've ever
I don't know that one,
that.
No.
It's a little tiny booklet that a friend of mine gave me just after I joined Toastmasters in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool little book, and it talks about in there, though, about how your heart's desire is something that is so dear to you that, you know, you're afraid to tell anybody what it is.
Right.
You're like, who am I to think I could do that? But it's actually, it said in there, God whispering to you, this is what you're here to do.
Right, and that's your intuition, and that's what we want to listen to.
Yeah. It's so amazing.
Well,
so,
that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about when I do my coaching is to help people believe that their heart's desires are things that they need to do and that, to realize that you don't go from A to Z in one fell swoop. I mean, that would be totally scary anyway. You take baby steps and like you said, have accountability and set goals and things like that.
Right.
But, you know, you're right. Everybody here on Earth has things that are heart's desires, things that they're here to do. Music, they're here to live. That's the whole idea of live your music.
Absolutely.
To live the music that you hear calling you. And that's there's some questions that I like to ask a lot of times of the people listening during the show. And what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that everybody listening will do their best to do that, to, you know, live their music in whatever ways they can. And I think reading your book could definitely help them do that, too, because it can help them start to get more joy out of life and to stop telling themselves the I can't story, as you were saying.
Right. And it was funny you say one of my tips is, one of my steps is making your joy playlist. And so
I love the
connection you said with music. But I think that's so important because we do have down days. And I have a joy playlist. And I'm telling you, when I put it on, I start dancing around the studio, dancing around my house, and it doesn't matter. I immediately feel better because that's the beauty and the healing of music. It changes you, right?
Oh, music.
Instantaneously. So it changes you. So that's one of the steps. Have your joy playlist of the stuff that makes you want to sing at the top of your lungs.
Exactly. That's my favorite kind of music and songs are the ones that make you feel like singing and or dancing. And if they make you feel like doing both, that's the best of all.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's an also interesting thing about music that I've noticed is that music is a resonance and you have to be on or at least close to that wavelength in order to enjoy it. And so, like, if I'm in a really horrible mood, sometimes I have to listen to something that's not as joyful and then work my way up to the more joyful songs.
Yeah, and maybe it's some, you know, hard-pumping rock or I can't think of anything.
I know,
just to get you, mad or just get that energy out, the emotion of what you're feeling out.
Right, yeah. Well, I remember, for example, in my 20s, listening to Linda Ronstadt singing on Heart Like a Wheel, that song, I've been cheated, I've been mistreated.
That's
it. I be loved? You know, that sort of thing. And it's like you work your way from that, though, into up to songs that are really fun and joyful and playful and, you know. But it's what's wonderful that there's music for all people and all feelings and all moods.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
And it always can change your feelings and your mood so instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to hear what's on your playlist, but we'll go into that later sometime. Right.
I put
now
it in the
we
book.
Only...
I put my entire playlist. People are like, "Oh my God, that's all old music." I'm like, "That's fine with me." I put new stuff
well,
on too now.
Yeah,
my
I
kids
guess I
give
haven't
me
read
music.
That part yet. I have to admit,
yeah.
I was skipping around, and some parts
oh.
I read more thoroughly
yeah, yeah.
than
people,
others because
people are
I
always
read
giving me suggestions. Yeah, so I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you say that, though, about the older songs, because our son is 29, and he loves a lot of the music from when we were growing up, you know,
right.
and from when we were teens. And he's like constantly saying, "Oh, I wish that the kids in my generation enjoyed that music." He goes, "You guys are so lucky that you grew up in a time when people actually liked being in bands and would play guitars
right.
or instruments,
right.
sing, you know, things like that." And now it's like electronic music and things like that a lot of times that they want to listen to, and rap. And so,
I have
you
to
know.
Say, I love it all. I love it all.
Yeah.
I love rap. I mean, my son is like, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to make you a playlist." I'm like, "Okay, I'm happy." Something that inspires me while I'm working out early, I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take it." Oh, it's stuff that I would not pick on my own. I wouldn't know it's even there. I'm always open. I love new stuff. So I love the old stuff, but I do love new stuff.
Oh, our son does too. I mean, there are definitely
yeah.
some things that I never would have heard, like Foo Fighters and
yeah.
the and Muse and a whole bunch of the others that like that are have really amazing songs. And I remember going to see the Foo Fighters with him, taking him to see the Foo Fighters, and oh my gosh, you know, we were standing up on our seats and dancing. And,
fun.
Know, it was so much fun. Well, we only have about 3 minutes left, and I knew the time was going to fly by, so I'm glad I set this up for a little bit longer show, because so much of what we've talked about during this last part has been so important. And I just would like to know, is there a little bit of something that you'd like to leave our listeners with during the last couple minutes of the show?
You know, I think taking a moment for yourself in any, you know, when you first wake up in the morning, in the middle of the day, in the end of the day, just 2 minutes, and just closing your eyes and doing a couple rounds of focused breathing. And that's just
mm-hmm.
inhaling for 2 counts, holding your breath for 2 counts, and then slowly
mm-hmm.
exhaling. And it's going to bring you into presence, and it's going to bring you into a quiet calm. And when you open your eyes, that is what joy is to me.
I love that. You know, I love to see things so much, and I think almost everybody does like to be able to see. And so I resisted meditation for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Finally tried it in 2005 after seeing Abraham Hicks at the I Can Do It conference there. But I thought, I'll try the 15 minutes with my eyes closed. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to like this. I loved it, the feeling of having my eyes closed and not having all the sensory overload that we get
mm-hmm.
all the time. So you're right. I mean, to do that for a couple minutes, it's nice
yeah,
because,
just,
you know, it
yeah, and I just
inside.
Tell people, just sit in your car, close your eyes, you can do it on a subway, you can be anywhere in the world, and just take, it doesn't have to be hours, just take a couple deep breaths in, hold your breath, and then slowly exhale out, and just notice your body, just notice where you are. How do you feel? What's your heart sense? What's your soul sense? Where are you? Where are you today?
Mm.
And you know, just be in that, whatever that feeling is, just be there and be okay with that. It doesn't have to be different. You don't have to do anything else. But that's where you are in this moment. And that, to me, is a great place to start from.
I think that's absolutely perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on my show again. And people can find you at your website, for ConniePonturo.com and ABsolutePilatesUpstairs.com. And I highly recommend your book. I highly do recommend that book of yours.
Oh, thank you. And then follow me on Instagram, Connie Ponturo, Ponturo, Conni, and Facebook. And join me on this journey. And thank you so much, Margot, for all the time. And it's been a blast. I love it.
It has been a blast. It's been a joy.
Yes.
We definitely were falling into joy.
Yes.
Well, thanks again for being on my show. I'm looking forward to March and more shows. And bye for now, everyone. Fall into joy. And thank you, Connie, and thank you for everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Bye for now.